And when I was in a position to move into a house, the main floor of a house, there was a small little garden that was already existing when we moved in. And I amended the soil with some compost and put some seeds in the ground, and they all worked. And I grew an amazing garden without really knowing a whole lot, aside from what was on the back of the package of the seeds. And that was it.
That was Lisa Girardet talking about her first experience in food growing and how that led her to create the famous Vancouver-based gardening co-op, Victory Gardens. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM, playing from the UBC Point Grey campus on unceded Musqueam territory. I'm your host, Emma Ng, and you are listening to Goody. At Goody, we talk to the do-gooders who are using business, innovation, and creativity to create positive change in the world. Today, we will be talking to Lisa Girardet, who empowers people to grow their own food. Lisa is the co-founder and marketing director of Victory Gardens. Victory Gardens is a Vancouver-based co-op of urban growers for people, organizations, and companies. In their words, they help you grow food in your space for your consumption. She also co-founded Classroom Gardener, which brings gardening to schools. So Lisa, we're so happy to have you here today. Let's get started. Lisa, can you describe again in your own words what you do?
I, as you mentioned, am one of the co-founders and co-owners of Victory Gardens. And you got it right. We help people grow food in their space for their consumption. So that means we build gardens, we teach people how to grow food in their gardens, and for some people, we grow food for them, as in plant it, harvest it, the whole lot.
So you're also working with Classroom Gardener, which was started a few years ago in partnership with Megan Zenny, who has taught for 20 years in the Metro Vancouver area and conceptualized the program, which supports teachers and students in moving learning outdoors. What were your experiences with food as a child yourself, and how did this affect your sense of purpose right now?
You know, as a child, I did not grow up exposed to what food growing was or what it looked like. And as a result, I think I had a pretty significant disconnection to the food system, who grew the food, what it looked like when it was coming out of the ground. And therefore, I don't think I genuinely appreciated what I was eating really at all. And so I think particularly in our current climate, our current context, and the importance of us rethinking our food system, that it's extremely important that we expose young people to how food growing works. And I think also just connecting to the earth outside of actually growing food, I think encouraging young people to be outside, spending more time outside when we are spending so much more time in front of screens, to achieve more balance within our learning environments is extremely important.
So you weren't grown up in a family that had a lot of organic foods or went on big camping trips or anything like that?
Not one. My parents never took us camping, and that's okay, Mom and Dad, if you're sitting. But no, we weren't exposed really to the outdoors too much. I did grow up riding horses, but I don't know if that connected me to food so much. And we, you know, like most kids in my generation, grew up on a lot of packaged foods. There was obviously a massive push towards convenient foods. So, you know, lots of snackables, you know, lots of juice boxes and those types of things. And absolutely no judgment, you know, eating is best across the board. But my interest in the work that we do at Victory Gardens came after childhood, for sure.
So during those younger years before you got into sustainability, what were your interests within school or within extracurriculars?
Well, Gosh, before I started Victory Gardens with the two co-founders, I was working as a product developer in the fashion industry.
So what does a product developer do?
I managed a brand, and what that specifically meant was that I played a significant role in determining what products were important for the brand in relationship to its place in the market. And I made sure that the product would get to the sales floor on time, in the right volume, in the right colors. Mostly, I would say, managing the business side of the brand. And I had also run a small art space, with one of the co-founders of Victory Gardens. We had done some art stuff together too. But I had always been interested in entrepreneurship and always been interested in business.
So did you have any formal training before you went into either those fields, arts or business? Or was it sort of just a natural entry?
No, I have not been really professionally trained in anything. But I got into fashion out of an early love for individuality and expression through fashion. And so I had worked in a retail environment. And from that point, I moved into a corporate environment as a product developer.
So you were able to scale your passion for fashion and eventually became a product developer. You also pursued an art thing.
And then the art thing was really started and inspired by some friends of mine and I who ran a little studio space together, and we made things, and it was very, very casual and very fun, you know, just really for fun. A couple of friends like making art together after our day jobs. And then it evolved into a small gallery, and then it evolved beyond that to a more commercial type gallery where we represented artists, and it was really amazing. Yeah.
So you're working these day jobs, and when did this idea that maybe I want to grow my own food come about?
Mm-hmm. My sort of path towards food growing started when I learned more about how food affected my body. I had been experiencing some health challenges, and in conjunction with GP, I had also been seeking some alternative health measures that included working with a naturopath who helped me learn about how diet and nutrition affected my body. And when I became more aware of the types of foods that were best suited to me and my health needs, I started to learn more about what food was and what it looked like and where it came from. And that evolved to a point where I developed a pretty strong political position about how I felt about food and food production. And when I was in a position to move into a house, the main floor of a house, there was a small little garden that was already existing when we moved in. And I amended the soil with some compost and put some seeds in the ground, and they all worked. And I grew an amazing garden without really knowing a whole lot, aside from what was on the back of the package of the seeds. And that was it. I think it probably was helpful that I had a successful first go of it. But that's where it started.
So that's how Victory Gardens started. How did you start adding people to your team and growing out the organization?
Yeah, we were fortunate to have a large backyard. And so I thought it would be amazing to dig up all the grass and invite all of my friends to grow food with us in the backyard. And so we actually started this like really informal collective of people who would garden together on the weekends, and I would send out an email and say, like, this is what's happening this weekend. We're going to be planting turnips and potatoes. If you want to come, that would be amazing. And so there was a group of probably about 10 people that would help in the garden. And one of those people was Sam. And she is one of the other co-founders of Victory Gardens. And she's also, she's been gardening forever, like since she was a younger person. And anyway, she, her and I gardened a lot together in the backyard. And she was going to be moving out of town. And she had actually been helping some friends of hers in their space who had asked her casually one time, like, can you teach us how to grow food? So she was moving out of Vancouver. And she said, you should continue that thing with our friends. And I said, that sounds like fun. And so I did. And while doing that, I thought that would be the most fun job ever. And when Sam moved back to town, we, like, literally while gardening, talked about a business model that included a few different things, all of which are still, we still do, or we do. And yeah, that was how it was born.
So while you were organically growing your business,
puns
you
everywhere.
Also had a job and you were part-time enrolled in school. Uh-huh. So how did you, what was it like managing all those aspects of life?
Pretty hairy. But I have always kind of behaved that way. I've always loved having a lot on the go, and you know, it just inevitably got to a point where we couldn't keep doing it all, and Victory Gardens took precedence over the other things. But yeah, it was, and at that time too, I now have a family, and at that time I didn't, and I was curious about trying a bunch of things and figuring out where I was in the world, and I didn't mind being really busy until I knew more about where my path was going to take me.
But you did eventually find your way, and that led you to starting a gardening business, which might seem a little unconventional. So what did people around you think?
Well, I don't think anyone was surprised. I had certainly been moving personally in a direction of a more natural or holistic lifestyle. So I think when my parents learned that I wanted to start a gardening business where, you know, we taught people how to grow food, that, yeah, there was no real shocker there. And also I had done an entrepreneur, you know, I wasn't a new entrepreneur. And so it also didn't really surprise them that I wanted to do something on my own or with some friends. And I've been very lucky about having very supportive family and parents. And so I think in general, people were very excited. And I think also too, people were excited by the model because it didn't exist in the marketplace. And yeah, I think, you know, given the timing and the context in which we live, people were excited to see that there was maybe some young people or maybe young people that they knew wanting to do something that could possibly have a really positive impact.
So what were your first projects with Victory Gardens starting out, and who were your first clients?
The first client of Victory Gardens was the one that I took over for Sam for when she moved away.
And now?
Yeah, I would think that the majority of clients that we work with would be residential clients. We do also have commercial and institutional clients as well, but many of our customers are residential clients, and I would think that the majority of them are really interested in thinking about their space differently. And I really love that we're challenging the norms when it comes to what a landscape should look like and where food should be produced. And so I think by showing and offering a service that allows people to build beautiful food gardens, and by demonstrating that it can look really amazing and be really productive, that by having that place in someone's yard is this really amazing sort of like gently political statement about, you know, how things can be done differently. And I think it has the opportunity to inspire a lot more people to do the same.
That was Lisa Giraudet talking about how she first became inspired to start Victory Gardens and what her life was like before Victory Gardens. We're going on a quick break, but after the break, we will be talking about some of the challenges she's faced growing the business and where she hopes it will take her now.
AMS Food Bank. Your access to money during the studies at UBC will most likely be limited, but it is a priority of the AMS Food Bank to ensure your access to food is not. The AMS Food Bank provides emergency food relief 7 days a week for all UBC students. To volunteer with the food bank or for inquiries about how to take advantage of the services provided, contact them at foodbank@ams.ubc.ca. For more information, find the AMS Food Bank on Facebook or feel free to visit anytime across from the Wellness Center and Sprouts.
UBC's Museum of Anthropology displays long-term and visiting exhibits of Indigenous art from around the world, and guided tours are free. Our permanent collection features one of the world's finest exhibits of Northwest Coast First Nations art. Our collection includes 36,000 ethnographic pieces, 535,000 archaeological pieces, and over 600 pieces in the Kroner Ceramics Gallery. There's a lot to take in. Luckily, at the Museum of Anthropology, final exams are always take-home. If you've never checked out this world-class facility, now's your chance. The Museum of Anthropology is located right on campus and free for all UBC students and faculty. Come enjoy our collection and resources.
All right, welcome back to Goody with Emma Ng. I'm talking to Lisa Giraudet, founder of Victory Gardens, and after her first season of bootstrapping, once they saw their business had legs in the market, they began to grow the business. But growing the business requires investment, so I'll ask her about how she funded that right now.
We paid for them out of our pockets. We actually managed to run a very, very, very lean startup. We spent, you know, $500 on a website, like bro rate from a friend. We bought our truck off of my partner, who allowed us to pay it off in increments. We hunted tools off Craigslist and held a fundraiser. We did a silent auction where we asked some friends if they would donate to our cause, and we raised a couple thousand dollars. And that's how we got going. Really, we bootstrapped. Like, we had no financing, no money. Any expenses that we had, generally, we paid for ourselves. And as the business made money, we would pay ourselves back. And then we did eventually, of course, need to secure financing to grow the business. And that happened, 2 years into the business, where Van City provided us with our first loan.
Although you did have business experience, did any of that in the initial stages of planning the business make you nervous?
No. Not at all. I am quite comfortable with risk and fully acknowledging that is, you know, a position of privilege where I can feel comfortable with risk. And we were very smart about how much we bit off. We really did test the model before we applied for any financing, because really the model was new. There was no market research on the model, you know, unless we were to borrow from landscaping, which while there are some similarities, our mandate is really food. And we're not a farm, we don't sell produce. Really had not a whole lot to go off of in terms of market research. So we opted to play it quite conservatively. And I think that proved to be the right decision for sure. And now, you know, we're in a position where we're, you know, a couple months away from paying off our loan, we'll be debt free, and we'll be able to run a business with a lot more flexibility. I mean, we do run a business with a lot of flexibility now, and I mean, we are still, of course, a small business, and we still have, you know, goals to expand beyond where we're at, absolutely. But I think we have been really smart along the way to make sound and calculated business decisions while taking, you know, a small amount of risk when we feel it's necessary and when we feel like we've got enough background and enough history to justify it.
Although you started your business very responsibly, life always seems to have a way of twisting things around for us. Did you face any challenges starting out?
Yes, we did. I would say the largest challenge that we faced along the way was originally when it came to the financing piece. We had been, it had been suggested to us that we apply for funding from two different funders, one of which we learned, you know, very far down the process of adjudication. We had, you know, submitted our application. We were given two enthusiastic thumbs up. We had been in ongoing written and verbal dialogue with the funder, and they loved us. We met all their criteria for being a cool young business, three young women doing an environmentally and socially motivated thing. They were very excited. In fact, it was a type of program where they provided both funding and mentorship. And we had been introduced to our mentor. Everything was a green light until it went to Toronto to be adjudicated, at which point we got a call saying that this organization specifically asked us if we would be interested in incorporating as a corporation, an articled corporation versus a cooperative, because they felt that as a cooperative, decision-making capacity could become diluted as the co-op grew. And it felt too risky for them to finance us. And it was a real, if I'm to be totally frank, and I don't mind it here, it was a real slap in the face. We felt very strongly about our business model, so strongly, in fact, that we applied for a grant to become a cooperative. And as a result, VanCity and the British Columbia Cooperative Association provided us with a grant by which we hired a consultant to help us form and create our rules so that we could operate in a really professional and meaningful way for both the current members and the future members, and develop a really sound operational and business structure. And we were really, really, really proud of that. And we already operated like a co-op. We were dedicated to consensus decision making. We were, of course, totally motivated to pay fairly amongst all staff and owners. We collaborated over and over and over again with other businesses. So we were already doing many of the things that co-ops pride themselves on as part of the guiding principles of cooperatives. And so we held that as a badge of pride to be a co-op and to have formed as a co-op. And it really stung when this funder decided to back away from us because we were a co-op. We had already been in dialogue with VanCity, and they stepped up. And it was really amazing and in a really meaningful way. And they stepped up in a couple ways, actually. They advocated for us, and then they lent us money, which was really helpful. And since then, actually, this isn't, you know, meant to be a major VanCity plug, but it's turning out to be that they've also, you know, hired us and collaborated with us, you know, on events and photo shoots and videos. And they've been quite a supporter of Victory Gardens over the years.
So now you've allowed your business to grow quite a bit, and it's doing well. It has lots of branches, and now you are directing marketing and sales, as well as helping out on the everyday basis. But what is your favorite part of the whole cooperative and your job?
Probably meeting customers for the first time and talking with them about how we can transform their space for food production. It's just an exciting time to be able to generate ideas and to turn non-productive space into productive space. And then, of course, seeing the garden when it's done. I mean, that is certainly the most satisfying part of the job, when a design has been realized and then there's food in the ground and then they get to eat it.
So you're really busy now. Mm-hmm. What exactly are you working on? Are there any new projects?
Mm-hmm. Well, we are hoping to complete a new design and build for the new Emily Carr campus. The design has been submitted and approved, and we're just waiting for the building to give us the green light on the design. So I'm checking my phone every half an hour to see whether that has come through, because it's a very tight timeline, and it's a very big job, and it's extremely exciting and includes some really cool components that we haven't done or built before. We're also building a new garden for the Gordon Neighborhood House in the West End, which I'm really excited about. And yeah, just generally still getting lots of folks who want to convert their yards, so those never get old.
Wow, so you have a lot of diversity then, yeah. From like the small gardens to like large mm-hmm. institutions wanting some gardens.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So what are the three things that keep you moving through all these busy times?
Well, I have become a little bit less dogmatic as I get older. Not that I'm old or anything like that. I would say that I am very politically motivated to do the work that we do. I have a fundamental belief that our current food system does not work. And I believe that the work that Victory Gardens does helps to shift the narrative relating to food production. And I've always admired Michael Abelman's perspective on urban agriculture, and that's that, he probably won't mind if I quote him by saying that he will commonly say that urban agriculture isn't going to feed the world, but it's going to be a part of what does. And I genuinely appreciate that, and I really relate to that in relationship to what Victory Gardens does too, that increasing food production in the urban center is extremely important, inspiring food production and a shift in the way that we consume is almost more important. And we've always said that that gardening has the capacity to do that by putting a seed in the ground and seeing how it grows, and the work that you put into maintaining your garden and tending it, and the love and then the connection that you develop to it, I think really has a profound has the potential to shift the way that people consume, and we love that. So I would say my first motivation is politics. I guess it's both politics and environment, of course. And then I'm a relatively new mother, and I've got two small children at home, and working with my kids in the garden and connecting children to food, of course not unrelated to the work that we're doing with the classroom gardener, but seeing the way that my kids interact with the garden has really reinforced the intentions and motivations behind the classroom gardener and our commitment to connecting kids to food for so many reasons. And I just see the joy and the happiness that they get out of pulling carrots out of the ground and literally eating food off of the plant, like bending over the stalk of kale while it's still alive in the ground and munching on the end of it. That's so amazing. So I would say to the kids, only the kids would be my a motivating factor. And then, I mean, maybe this should have been number one, given the fact that we're a worker cooperative. But three, I would say the people. I mean, I love the fact that we are a business that is organized in such a way that as our business grows, so does the opportunity for ownership in it. And, you know, we recognize that as the population increases and as the demand for food increases and then as the demand for organic and local food increases, our business is going to continue to grow. And there are a lot of people who are inspired to work in this industry as well, that are motivated by a number of different reasons. But I love the fact that we are a business that has organized in a way that can facilitate the possibility of ownership and employment, meaningful employment to our staff. So I would say continuing to grow the business so that we can facilitate growth and expansion of the ownership pool in this sector is a main motivating factor.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you so much for spending time with me. Where can they find you on the internet?
www.victorygardensvancouver.ca.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to Goody with Emma Ng, and we'll see you next week. It's been good. Music by Tegan and Sarah, Hang On to the Night.